Manchester City come from behind to shock Real Madrid at the Bernabeu.
And so Kevin De Bruyne, the captain, taking the responsibility. Manchester City's best player, Manchester City's captain, to put them in front, and he sends Courtois the wrong way. And Manchester City's players wheel away as one in celebration.
Meanwhile, in France, Lyon keep Ronaldo and Co at bay to take a priceless first-leg lead to Turin.
Here's Aouar down the left-hand side, away from his man. Aouar into the box. Can he pick out a teammate? He could! And Lyon have scored! Lucas Toussaint was on hand to help it home!
We'll hear from Guardiola, De Bruyne and Ramsey right here on the official UEFA Champions League podcast. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly. We're going to dissect all the action from the final night of the Champions League round of 16 first leg ties, which have finished Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 2 and Lyon 1, Juventus 0. Watching all the action of the Bernabeu was John Bradley, and keeping across Lyon versus Juventus was Richard Connolly. Firstly, gents, I want your three-word match reports, please. John.
Cavalier comeback City.
Not bad. Richard?
I'm going for Lopez, surprisingly underemployed.
Very good indeed. Much more from you two in a moment. European football expert Andy Brassel is also with us. Andy, your highlight of the night.
I was thinking, thank goodness I didn't get pressed for a three-word match report. That would have been tough. I think it has to be Manchester City's performance in the second half and their ability to come back after they conceded that first goal. They showed incredible guts and, you know, they're a real contender for this competition.
Don't forget to download Tuesday night's podcast for all the reaction to the first legs between Chelsea and Bayern and Napoli and Barcelona. But let's start with the game at the Bernabeu on Wednesday. Here's how the action unfolded.
He scores! City give the ball away inside their own half, and Vinicius it is who picks up the ball, advances into the penalty area and squares it for Isco, who has the simplest of tasks to roll the ball into the Manchester City net. It's against the run of play, but ask anyone in the Bernabeu if they care. Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 0. The cross for Gabriel Jesus, it's 1-1. Gabriel Jesus gets above Sergio Ramos and gets Manchester City the away goal that they have been looking for. It's level on the night. It's Real Madrid 1. It's Manchester City 1. Only Gabriel Jesus in the middle. Sterling goes round his man. Dani Carvajal dives in. Penalty Manchester City. And so Kevin De Bruyne, the captain, taking the responsibility. Manchester City's best player. Manchester City's captain, to put them in front, and he sends Courtois the wrong way, and Manchester City's players wheel away as one in celebration. It's clenched fist time, it's fists in the air time, it's Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 2.
And of course there was the red card for Sergio Ramos at the end, the fourth in his Champions League career, tying with Ibrahimovic and Edgar Davids, who also reached that number. But it's all about City's win, a deserved win at the Bernabeu. John Bradley and Andy Brassel alongside me now. John, we were talking pre-match about Manchester City needing statement results against the elite of European football in the knockout stages of the Champions League. They got that tonight. Big win at the Bernabeu for them.
We said before the game that we felt that this was the night for the first time that they've come into a tie like this against one of the real elite level clubs, of which they are, of course, now as favourites. And they performed like favourites would. They started the game stronger, they stayed on the front foot longer and got a win that they richly deserved. It was quite tentative, I think, early on in the first half, but as they grew into the game more and more, they were able to dictate and to really sort of stamp their authority on it. And really, you know, the fact that they went behind against the run of play just shows how dominant they were. I mean, they should have won by more and they should have probably kept a clean sheet.
And so many other clubs have been, big clubs have been in that situation where they've had their chances at the Bernabeu, capitalised on a Real Madrid slow start, and yet then found themselves behind. And the way that they reacted to that, I thought was quite outstanding. That was something really special, especially when you think that in the Premier League this season, they've had plenty of games where they've played well and still not managed to get a result at the end of it. We talked at the beginning of the show, didn't we, about the reasons behind that gap between Liverpool, who've been imperious, and Manchester City. And a huge part of it is the fact that Liverpool can win without playing well. Manchester City have not been capable of that this season, and on many occasions they've played well and not won. This could have been one of those occasions, but it wasn't one of those occasions because they showed great nerve and great mettle in the last half hour.
I could almost picture us post-match after a 1-0 Real Madrid win saying, City again, those opportunities, big, and the yes. Champions League, you can't afford to blow them. But they kept creating. They didn't let the goal disrupt them.
That's right, and you know, Pep Guardiola deserves an enormous amount of credit. Someone who, it has been said again and again and again since he's last won the Champions League in 2011, and it's hard to believe it's that long, that he overthinks these big Champions League matches. And especially when people saw the 11 for this game, with Aguero on the bench, with David Silva on the bench, with Fernandinho on the bench, with Raheem Sterling on the bench, they said, well, what's he doing? What sort of team has he picked for a game that you know, could represent their whole season? He was proved absolutely right. And the fact that he was able to bring on Sterling fresh with 25, 30 minutes to go, as we suggested at the start of the game, that was perhaps the decisive move.
Pep Guardiola is only the second manager to win two Champions League away games against Real Madrid after Ottmar Hitzfeld, and the first to do so with two different clubs as well. A massive result for him and Manchester City tonight. And Kevin De Bruyne, I sense, and we always see the newspaper headlines, they're on UEFA.com as well the next day. Lots of nice, positive comments about Kevin De Bruyne, I think, from the Madrid-based media, because he was outstanding, John.
I think that the critical moment you look at is the Manchester City equaliser. He has no right to put that ball on Gabriel Jesus's head. He's running away from goal. He has to fully twist and then get his foot round and get the connection. But elite level players can do that. And Real Madrid at this stage do not have the same level of elite level players, I think, that Manchester City have. That's why City were favourites going into their book. But De Bruyne at the moment is right up there amongst the very top echelon of players in world football. And that was a moment of great individual craft and brilliance to create the goal, and he was the one who was the catalyst for the comeback. He was the one who found the space, got into the really good areas. It takes a really intelligent player to find space where it doesn't really exist and to look as though they have so much time on the ball.
I think that's absolutely right, and the best players and the best teams, they make their presence felt in the closing quarter of the game, and that's exactly what he did. I think the other thing with De Bruyne, which is overlooked almost because he has such an incredible range of passing and vision, is that he's really quick. He's really, really quick for a playmaker, which is not necessarily a trait that we associate with a playmaker, but especially in a game like this, when you're going to recover the ball and you want to get back up the pitch quickly and catch Real Madrid on the break, and opportunities to do that are fairly few and far between because they do play quite conservatively under Zinedine Zidane, especially in a UEFA Champions League context. That is a situation in which De Bruyne is absolutely vital.
50th goal for Manchester City tonight, that penalty to roll in the winner on 83 minutes. Let's hear from Kevin De Bruyne.
The first 50 minutes we struggled a bit, but you have to go through the storm. Then a pretty even first half, and I think we started the second half really well. And the goal comes a little bit at a bad moment for us because I think we were dominating at the time. But I think our response was brilliant. I think a beautiful goal from Gabi, and the second goal that I could score a penalty was, I think, very important. And it's a really good start for us.
Yeah, perfect situation for Manchester City. Real Madrid in 3 weeks' time have to go to Manchester, have to score twice to at least stay in the tie with the scoreline. And you mentioned it, John, and we'll come to Real Madrid in a moment. Penalties for City have been an issue this season, and De Bruyne rolled up to take that very confidently tonight.
Yeah, Aguero and Gabriel Jesus and Raheem Sterling have all missed from the spot.
And Ilkay Gundogan, I want to say as well, yeah.
Who is one of the best in the business as well. But De Bruyne was very, very calm. Thibaut Courtois went very early, and no doubt those two know each other very yeah. well, of course. So it was an intriguing little battle. It was almost as though De Bruyne was very, very leisurely in his approach to the ball. He almost sort of kept Courtois waiting, and Courtois was like a jack-in-the-box all night, wasn't he? He was bounced. The one moment where he came outside his box for a long goal kick and he controlled the ball in his chest when he could have just stayed in his box and caught it.
Yeah, those two fluffs at the end of the first half, which both nearly led to a goal, where he just really flapped at crosses. It felt like this was a big night for him, and you don't really want a goalkeeper wanting to make things happen, do you?
We could sit here and go through Manchester City's chances, and it'd take a while. Like 8 attempts on target, but a number that they should have done better with off target. I recall Benzema's header in the first half that was very well saved by Ederson, and the goal, and they're the only chances Real Madrid created at home, and Manchester City gave them a going home.
They never built up a head of steam, did they? I mean, if you're going away to Real Madrid, you expect at least a spell of 15-20 minutes where you're going to really be under the pump, no matter who you are, whether you're Manchester City, Bayern Munich, Paris Saint-Germain. Remember, when they played Paris Saint-Germain in the group stage, I mean, it ended up a 2-2 draw. It could have easily been 4-0. You know, Real Madrid absolutely took them apart. So for Manchester City to limit them in such a way was extremely impressive.
It is also worth remembering that Paris Saint-Germain gave Real Madrid a real going over the one on match day one, didn't
yes,
they, in
true.
Paris. So, you know, you don't know what you're getting from this Real Madrid side at the moment. We said before the game, it's a transitional period for them. Clearly, not having Eden Hazard available was a big, big blow because he's one of the talisman that you need, and elite-level players that you need on a night like this, and they just didn't have enough players who stood out.
And they have a Clasico at the weekend, of course, as well. John, thank you very much. Let's move on to the other game from Wednesday night. Lyon against Juventus. This was the match-winning moment.
Here's Aouar down the left-hand side, away from his man. Aouar into the box. Can he pick out a teammate? He could! And Lyon have scored! Lucas Toussaint was on hand to help it home! And just past the half-hour mark, Lyon take the lead against Juventus, who had Matthijs de Ligt off the field receiving attention, and Lyon have taken advantage. Toussaint from close range after great work from Aouar, and it's Lyon 1, Juventus 0.
Well, Richard Connolly, our commentator for this one, joins Andy and myself. Now, a fine moment in a fine first half performance, Richard, where Lyon showed plenty of venture. They wanted to score in that opening 45 minutes.
Yeah, they certainly did, Rob. I would say that between maybe the 15th minute and half time, they were well on top. And before they scored the goal in the 31st minute, they struck the crossbar with their first corner of the match. The first corner came after the 20th minute. So that showed you that Juventus had had plenty of the ball themselves early on without really doing a great deal with it. But it can be flicked Aouar's corner against the bar. And then Aouar escaped down the left-hand side, got away from Bentancur from a throw-in, and then crossed well for Toussaint, whose finish actually, as he had advanced on the ball at pace, and the ball was at knee height, was actually quite well, steered it back behind Szczesny, albeit from close range, to give Lyon that advantage. And Ekambi had a couple more chances before half-time. And it was surprising, really, how little Juventus were creating. And that picture was kind of continued into the second half, although Juventus had far more of the ball in the second period and did come on a lot stronger as the game went on. And Lyon's effort was principally a defensive one and a very well-organised one at that.
Well, let's hear from one of the men that Juve turned to in that second half. Their substitute, the former Arsenal man, Aaron Ramsey.
We knew it was going to be a difficult match. We had to be at the top of our game to get a result. But, they managed to score the goal. But, we're still in this tie. There's still a long way to go. So hopefully at home in front of our own fans, we can get a better result and progress to the next stage. But we know it's going to be difficult, but we're confident, we believe in ourselves.
Richard, from what I saw in that second half, it did look a little bit flat and uninspired from Juve. They had that disallowed goal for offside, but I didn't see them creating a great deal. Would that be fair?
It would be, yes. I mean, I The official stats have them with one shot on target, and I can't for the life of me work out when it actually came. It must have happened late on, but I don't think Anthony Lopez really had anything significant to do. I mean, I think they were at their most dangerous, funnily enough, once they'd made a couple of changes. Higuain had come on for Cuadrado, and Dybala had gone out to the right-hand side. And coming in off that flank, he actually made a few things happen. I mean, Lyon were defending in this giant block with five defenders, and actually the five defenders were relatively narrow, so there was still space round the outsides. Space that down the left-hand side, Alexandro didn't really do enough with, and Danilo never threatened to exploit. So when Dybala got into that position, he started to make a few things happen. He got the ball in the net, but he was rightly flagged offside by about half a metre or so. There was a deep cross to Ronaldo at the back post, who headed it back into Dybala, who felt he was pulled over by Bruno Guimarães, who was excellent on what was his home debut for Lyon today. But really, the welter of chances that you'd expect Juve to create, or at least you'd expect them to create at least a couple of clear ones. I mean, they haven't failed to score in a game since the middle of September in an away match against Fiorentina that was a 0-0 draw. So you've got to give enormous credit to Lyon. Even if Juventus don't have the flair and flow that perhaps their fans would hope for, they still have terrific players here. And to keep them out is one thing, but to keep them to so few opportunities of quality is quite another. It was a magnificent defensive performance from Lyon, a performance they really judged the moment well. You know, where they had the chance to push on, they took it and they got the goal. When they knew it was backs to the wall, they were very organised and actually very calm for a side that has far less experience than their opponents tonight.
And Richard, you talked about the defensive efforts, the efforts of Bruno Guimarães and Luka Tsar, but what about the inspiration provided when it was needed by Usman Awa?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't especially prominent in the second half because, you know, Lyon didn't have a great deal of the ball. But even then, he, like those other two you mentioned, were taking positions in that midfield to clog the passing lanes and make it difficult for Juventus, who didn't seem to have ideas. I mean, I thought all three of those were terrific in different ways. Tsar obviously made the run into the box to score the goal, and who knows? I mean, Matthijs de Ligt was off the pitch at the time. He'd clashed heads at the other end, gone down in a real tumble of bodies, and was off getting treatment for a bleeding head wound. So, I mean, you know, Lyon took their chance, didn't they? They had a moment there and they exploited it. But Aouar had the subtlety to get away from his man and then picked out the cross. I think the cross actually might have been ever so slightly better. It might have been lower towards Tsar, who had to make an adjustment in midair. But he did that well enough. Maybe the finish didn't come cleanly off the boot. Maybe it came off the inside of the calf. But it was well directed. And they were clinical. I mean, they only had the two attempts on target themselves, Lyon. But one of those was the goal, and they'll say, rightly, I think, that they deserve their victory tonight.
A huge victory for them. Just 8 points in the group stage, enough to see them finish above Benfica and Zenit, who both had 7 in Group G, as RB Leipzig won the section. 7th in Liga currently, Andy. They had to make a head coach change early in the season after a surprising head coach appointment. Anyway, Rudy Garcia is a man who's been associated closely with Lyon's rivals in the past. Will tonight's victory go some way to making him a bit more popular with the home support?
Well, you would hope so. I think, as Richard has pointed out, a large part of it is his victory, because he's organised his team so incredibly well. They've had their defensive issues this season. I do think Bruno Guimarães, you look at the speed with which he's adapting to European football, it's extraordinary. I mean, he's covered more ground than anyone else, and it says a lot for players in form, because, of course, he had a great South American under-23 tournament with Brazil, in which he was the MVP and the captain of the winning side. But Garcia's record in Europe has often been questioned, going back to his time with Marseille, Lille and Roma. But tonight he's pulled out something pretty special.
Richard, you wouldn't bet against Juventus one bit, would you, turning it around in the second leg?
No, I mean, they came from 2 goals down against Atletico Madrid to turn it round at this stage of last season, winning the second leg by 3-0. That's all the form you really need, I think. But Lyon, for them, it's about savouring a first ever victory over Juventus and the first win in the knockout rounds since 2012. So, you know, nights like this don't happen very often. And maybe nights like this in this stadium that's been around for, what, 4 years or so, in maybe a night like this hasn't quite happened before. I mean, it was really rocking, it was really jumping, and they savoured every moment of it at the final whistle.
And this comes at the start of a huge period, as I was mentioning there, Richard. Juve tonight rivals Saint-Étienne. Andy, that's a big old rivalry, isn't it? Lyon, Saint-Étienne, massive one. Paris Saint-Germain in the cup. Then they face Lille, of course, and they go to Juve again. Just the right time to get a massive result.
I think it's huge. I mean, the games against Paris are coming up in both the Coupe de France and the Coupe de la Ligue. So, you know, a victory against a side of, you know, significant European import has got to give them huge confidence going into those, and certainly a significant bit of belief. The fact, as Andy says, that a new player comes in for big money, you know, Bruno Guimaraes has cost them 20 million euros, but he comes in, makes a difference straight away. That's got to have an impact to the rest of the team as well. All of a sudden they say, hang on a minute, we've had an upgrade. Yes, we've lost players to injury. We're doing this without Memphis Depay, our captain, but here we are, here's a new guy. And can be fitted in well, played well tonight. You know, maybe we've reached another level. Things are possible again.
Richard, thank you very much. More from Richard Connolly shortly. Let's turn our attention back to Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 2. A great night for Pep Guardiola.
I'm so proud, of course, but it's just the first step. So we have another game. So it's not over. So, and be calm, enjoy it, of course. We spoke about that. Enjoy the moment, good dinner, regeneration. But of course, a good result. We could not score goals the previous two times away, so we did it.
Pep Guardiola there. John Bradley, a landmark win tonight for Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, significant. He's become the manager with the most wins in Champions League knockout games, surpassing Carlo Ancelotti, Jose Mourinho and Sir Alex Ferguson. It was the 28th victory in knockout games, individual matches, so phenomenal record.
Illustrious company. Gents, let's look ahead to the second legs then of some of these Champions League ties, because the competition gets back underway in roughly a fortnight. John, I'll ask you then, as you'll be covering Liverpool at Anfield at home to Atletico, Liverpool 1-0 down from the first leg in Madrid. Do you still have Liverpool down, because Liverpool were favourites going into the tie. Do you have Liverpool as favourites to progress despite that 1-0 scoreline?
Here's the thing. Every sort of February, March that we sit here, I always say that Bayern and Paris Saint-Germain won't win the UEFA Champions League because they're too dominant in their own league and they've lost the competitive edge by the time we get to the stage of the season. Liverpool have already won the league practically in England, so have they still got the competitive edge? Also, they can't keep going the way they have been in the two-legged ties and the heroic comebacks. It's got to come to an end soon. And I don't think there's a better side in Europe who will break the game up, frustrate them, than Atletico. I think Atletico will go through.
Andy, which teams do you think can turn around their respective ties then?
Well, Paris Saint-Germain do have a few injury difficulties, which I think will make it tough for them, even though they will fancy their chances of coming back with their attacking armada. The one for me is Tottenham, actually, last season's finalists, because even though they lost the home game and that gives them a difficult task going to Leipzig, I do feel that Leipzig do have that bit less experience, and also they've been a little bit tentative at home this season. So if I was Tottenham, I would be looking to last season's semi-final and the fact that they lost the first game with Ajax. It could have been a lot worse, very much like the first leg against Leipzig, as inspiration.
Now, just looking at the teams that currently, if everything stays as it was really, and giving Barcelona the away goal lead at the moment, the quarterfinals will be Borussia Dortmund, Atletico, Leipzig, Atalanta, of course, Bayern, Barcelona, City and Lyon. Andy, on Atalanta, do you see them seeing that one out going to Spain? You know, they're very open. They play very open. Can they? Yeah, 4-1 looks a great scoreline, but can they keep that lead?
Yes, I do think they can. Not because I'd put it past Valencia scoring three, but because I definitely think Atalanta are going to score at Mestalla.
Richard Connolly, which second leg tie are you looking forward to in the Champions League?
Well, I think Juventus against Lyon is going to be terrific. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Juventus to turn this round. Everybody's going to expect them to do it. And I think I get a sense from what they're saying that the players are really quite angry at the first half performance tonight in particular. So much riding on that, I think, for the team and for the manager's reputation. You'd still back them to do it, but it's going to be really one to keep an eye on.
Richard Connolly, thank you very much. A big thank you to Andy Brassel and John Bradley as well on the show tonight. That's all we have time for. Don't forget, you can download the UEFA Champions League podcast after every night of football in the competition. And you can listen to live commentary with us live every match day from 19:30 CET on the official UEFA Champions League app or via UEFA.com. A reminder of how things are unfolded tonight in the UEFA Champions League. Tussar's first half goal has given Lyon a 1-0 lead against Juventus in their round of 16 tie. A brilliant result for the league outside. And Manchester City, having gone behind to Isco's goal, turned it around. Jesus and Kevin De Bruyne with a penalty. City with a massive win at the Bernabeu. We will be back on Tuesday the 10th of March as the second legs begin. Our games that night see RB Leipzig host Tottenham Hotspur and Atalanta travel to Valencia. But for now, from myself, Rob Daly, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
Aouar down the left-hand side, away from his man. Aouar into the box. Can he pick out a teammate? He could! And Lyon have scored! Lucas Tussar was on hand to help it home!
And so Kevin De Bruyne, the captain, taking the responsibility. Manchester City's best player, Manchester City's captain, to put them in front, and he sends Courtois the wrong way! And Manchester City's players wheel away as one in celebration.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.